appreciate the ministry of Pastor Jackie Hughes in these past days. No stranger, I'm sure, to these parts. We appreciate, Jackie, your ministry and for taking the time to be with us. We welcome you to this pulpit, and we pray that God will bless you as you bring your final message of this missionary convention to the hearts of God's people this evening. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It's been a joy to be with you over these days of mission. I have a big heart for mission, and it's been good to have the opportunity of sharing and to see that God is blessing in the church here under the ministry of your beloved pastor, and we trust that the Lord will continue to move by His Spirit. You know, some of you may remember about 30 years ago, 31 years ago, I brought a Polish pastor to your meeting. During the communist years, first man I met in Eastern Europe way back then, and quite a character was when you go back, I was here in my short trousers. And you know, someone asked him a question at the end of the service when it was open for questions. And the question was this: what's it like to suffer persecution as a Christian in Poland? His response startled me. For first of all, he looked at me to see if he could answer the question. He was so used to a secret police in a meeting. And then his response was this: do you not know? My Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, irrespective of where you live, shall suffer persecution. What an answer he gave on that night. And that character, he is a character. I'll tell you a funny story about him. He's such a character, he's a brilliant interpreter. He always interprets for me in Poland. And he's going to be back in Ireland for a few days later on. And I was at a meeting one night, and he was interpreting, and I knew something wrong. He's not interpreting the way he does. He's a fireball when he starts to interpret. And after this, I stopped suddenly, because they always like you to speak for over an hour, but I stopped less than an hour. So you're all rested last night. I don't care tonight. But when we went up to his home for supper, he says to me, I've got an illness. And then he looked at me and says, will you do my funeral? And I says, look, catch yourself on, you're not as bad as that. I says, I'll tell you what, there's a medical center in Warsaw. You go up and find out how much it's going to cost to get you the treatment you need, and then we'll see what we can do. So one Sunday afternoon he phoned me, and I'm sitting at home, and when he phoned, he just said, Yannick here. I says, yes, Yannick. He says, it's going to cost too much. I said, how much? He said, £400. I says, Yannick, it'll be cheaper for me to go out and bury you. Well, you could hear him laughing on the other end of the phone. And I mentioned it at the meeting that night, and when someone was going out, they said to me, what are we talking about, Pastor? I said, £400. He says, you'll have it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Got him fetched up and on his way. But men, as our brother's talking about tonight, who have paid a tremendous price for their faith in Jesus Christ. In many senses, I feel that the offering would have been better at the end of the service tonight. But we could lift another one. Because over these days of mission, we've been looking at different aspects of mission. Sunday morning, preparing the man, the kind of man God's looking for. Sunday evening, preaching the message. Last night, partnering in mission through the throne of grace and prayer. Tonight, I want to speak on providing the means. Providing the means. Everybody's struggling in these days. But I want to tell you tonight, there is no recession in heaven. No recession. All the wealth of heaven is at our disposal. When it comes to mission work, there's so many branches going off from branches now in missions. We sometimes wonder what our responsibility is. And with that in mind, I want to read just a few, two passages tonight, and I promise that I'll not be too long, but dear knows when I'll be back again, so you never know. Might give you a double dose. Few verses in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. I just want to read a few verses here. The Acts of the Apostles, and chapter 13. Verse 1 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Ma'an-en, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Then over into Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and at verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And we'll end the reading there at verse number 20. And again, we trust the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. I'm sure that many of you, if not all of you, have heard the story about the man who had the heart attack. He was rushed to the hospital. He could receive very few visitors, and he was not to be excited in any shape or form. While in hospital, a rich uncle died and left him $1 million. His family wondered, how can we break the news to him with the least amount of excitement? It was decided that they would ask the pastor if he would go and break the news gently to the man. The preacher went, and gradually he led up to the question. Then the pastor asked the patient what he would do if he inherited $1 million. And he said, "I think I would give half of it to the church." And the pastor dropped dead. You know, Bessie's mother, she had just given her some money when the pastor arrived to visit. And he said, "I see that you've got some new shiny coins. Why don't you give them to missions?" "I thought about that," said the little girl, "but I think I'll buy some sweets and let the shopkeeper give them the missions." And this story, in many senses, pictures the attitude of those in our churches who are glad to let others support the missionary cause. From the reading tonight, I just want to say two things. Just two things. So you know you'll not belong, providing I don't take an hour on each thing. But just two things I believe are very essential when it comes to the responsibility of the church to the mission. Because sometimes we lose sight of our responsibility. And when you look at these two essential requirements for every local church with regards to mission, if from the Acts of the Apostles there is the recognition by the church, the recognition by the church, three things are clear to us in this 13th chapter of the book of Acts. The church at Antioch recognized the selection of Barnabas and Saul by the Holy Spirit for missionary work. The church recognized it. Secondly, the church at Antioch recognized the separation of Barnabas and Saul for mission work. Thirdly, the church at Antioch recognized the sending forth of Barnabas and Saul for mission work. Now the sequence of events are interesting in Acts 13. Very briefly, let me say this. You see, the ministry of the saints, it's set forth first. They were fasting. They were ministering. They were praying. And they were waiting on God to move. You see how the whole process of sending the missionary began? It began through prayer and fasting and waiting on God to move. You know, we hear a lot today about dieting, don't we? I don't know what it's like in Europe, but it's amazing the number of people who come to your house, and when you're about to make the supper or make the tea, they say, well, you know, I'm on a diet. It was a thing. But see, when the pavlova comes out, the diet goes out the window. And everybody's talking about losing weight. All talk about it. And some people, that's why I don't want to take the jacket off tonight, because I've a wee bit here. It took a lot to put it there. And I often say, you know, my body's a temple, this is the outhouse. But I believe that if we had less dieting and more fasting, we might see God move. Might see God move. So when you get down to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, you've got the ministry of the saints. This is an active church. This is a praying church. This is a ministering church. This is a church that's open for the Spirit of God to move through the congregation. You've got the ministry of the saints. Then you've got the movement of the Spirit. Lovely. Acts 13. There was no committee here. You read that there, you shout hallelujah. Because as somebody said, the best committee is made up of two and the other one can't come. And there's a whole lot of people who just like to serve in committees to be awkward. It is. Sometimes, when you're sitting in the middle of a committee, you need all the grace of God because you feel like telling someone, shut up and get out. You're not helping the work, you're hindering the work. But at this church here at Antioch, there was no committee. There were no plans, but the Spirit of God was there. And that's all that mattered. The Spirit of God was there. And the Spirit of God was moving. You know what? The saints of God in Antioch recognized the movement of the Spirit of God in their midst. They recognized it. They recognized it. Then the third thing that you see here is this, the manner of the saints. You see, they recognized that the Spirit of God was working in the hearts of Saul and Barnabas. And so the church identified with that work. Now watch it carefully. The Spirit set them apart, but the church sent them. You got it now? The Spirit set them apart, but the church sent them. Because you see, I cannot understand how people suddenly want to go hither and yonder who have never been involved in their own fellowship. Never been involved in their own fellowship. You see, it's obvious from the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 13 that Saul and Barnabas were active. And the church could see the Spirit of God was upon these men. They were full of God. And the church wanted to be identified with sending them out as missionaries into the great harvest field. You know, when we have a farewell service, I believe we are recognizing that God has been at work in their hearts. And we as a church are publicly affirming our identification with them as they go. Sent by the church. Sent by the church. You know, one of the great problems today is this. That the church has no sense of responsibility toward those whom we send. As I said last night, we often sing at the farewell, God be with you till we meet again. And that's the way it goes. That's the last you hear until they return. Isn't it true? In our fellowship, as I said the other day, we have missionaries out from our church in Moldova, Russia, Africa, Mexico, Malaysia, apart from those who are in Bible college at the moment. And every month, they've got to report back to the church. We have someone in the church, and their responsibility is to keep in touch with those on the mission field. And every month, there is a missionary news produced of what's been happening and what they need prayer for. And it's distributed among the church members every month. We sent them. We sent them. And we want to stand with them. And the only way we can stand with them is when the news comes back to us from the mission field. So there is the recognition by the church. These men were recognized by the church. Sure, set apart by the Holy Spirit, but recognized by the church and sent by the church. Now, let me talk about the other side of this. And this is where I'm going tonight. The responsibility of the church. The responsibility of the church. When Paul writes in Philippians 4, Paul is saying this. Out of all the places I have visited, and all the churches I have formed, writing from this prison cell to the saints at Philippi, he tells them that when he first departed from Macedonia, they were the only church who sent him practical support. The only church that did it. What an indictment against the church of Jesus Christ that we should send them forth and fail to support them. How can you send them forth knowing that the Spirit of God has set them apart without supporting them? You've got to support them. We need to support them. You know, when you think of the support that has been sent here, Paul's writing about, it was regular support. You see, verse 16 tells us that they sent more than once. They sent more than once. Now, I know your church has a policy, a missionary policy, every 10th Sunday. In our church, it's the first Sunday of every month. All our offerings on the first Sunday of every month go to the missionaries from our church. That's not counting the missionaries that come on other occasions. Because we feel we have an obligation. When we discussed this, they kept saying, how will we make the overheads of the church? How will we be able to pay the bills of the church if we take one Sunday out of every month and give it to the missionaries? I says, how big is our God? How big is our God? We have a great God. Thank God He's never let us down. Never let us down. But here they were. Now can I say this tonight? And I'm speaking from my heart tonight. If the church has no intention of supporting them, then they should not send them. Say that again. If the church has no intention of supporting them, then they should not send them. You see, God Himself instructs us that our giving should be on a regular basis. It does that. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth, that church, you know, I often think about Corinth, that every gift of the Spirit working in the church, and they were a carnal church. Carnal church. And when he speaks to this church about giving, in the 16th chapter he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him. God has prospered him. If God's people were regularly doing what God has told us to do, I believe we would not need gimmicks to raise support for missionaries. You think of it tonight. When the scriptures talk about tithing, of course tithing is a word that a lot of people don't like to hear about. Oh, pastor, don't talk about tithing, whatever you do. Well, you know, tithing was under the law. No, I've good news for you tonight. Tithing was before the law. Before the law. And if under the law they tithed, ought not we who are under grace want to give more than the tithe to the work of God? And I believe tonight that if every child of God was doing as God asked us to do and bringing our tithes into the storehouse, then we would need no gimmicks. The missionary society would not be crying out for help because God's people would be doing God's work in the way God wanted it done. Many people are miserable when it comes to giving, aren't they? They are miserable. Like the old fellow took the money out of his pocket when the plate came. And as he put it onto the plate, he says, God be with you till we meet again. You know, when I got saved at first, I used to sing in a group. And, You know, you have sort of rough, still the old roughness was still there. And we're asked to go and sing at this place away up the country somewhere, some church, but it wasn't a, when we got there, we discovered it was a sort of a village night out. And that everything was groups up singing about the rooks coming home. And I thought to myself, there's no rooks in this place, it's full of crooks. And all the village hierarchy were there. They were all, the church was packed with all the hierarchy. And when it came to us to get up, we sang the gospel and you should have seen the expression on their faces. And then it came to the, they were going to have an offering. And the old boy, dear forgive him, or dear love him, because he needed a new robe. The one he had was spit, tattered and torn. And he walked down to the front and we're going to take the offering. And before it went to the front row, he put his hand in his pocket and he put the old 10-shilling note on it. You remember the old 10-shilling note? You're not putting your hand up in it because your bus pass would have to come out. And he put the old 10-shilling note on the plate, and all the dignitaries in the front row would look bad if you didn't put a 10-shilling note in the plate. Look bad if you had to put mutton coppers on the plate after him putting the 10 shillings in. And it went right round the congregation. And then when the offering came up, he turned and he was walking towards the altar. And he said, "We'll give thanks." And everybody closed their eyes. We watched. He put his hand on the plate and put the 10 shillings back in his pocket. As we say, put the 10 shillings on the plate to get the ball rolling. But all we have a responsibility. Now listen. If we have sent them, we've got to support them. Got to support them. And if we were supporting as God called us to support in the manner we were bringing our tithes, then we would have more than what we need to keep the work of God flourishing. It was regular support. It was rewarding support, you know, in many senses, because Paul said in the 17th verse, "It's not that I'm looking for a gift, for I have learned to be content." But he says, "I'm looking for souls. I'm looking for fruit, and that fruit shall be added to your account in heaven because of your support." You know, there's different ways of raising money. I'm very, very tight. Say in our place, if God's people can't support God's work, I told them we'll not have any gimmicks to raise money any other way. It's God's work, and if God's people can't keep it going, why should we look to the world to keep it going? And if we get back to reality according to the scripture. I remember many years ago I was at a world missionary convention in Canada. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Came to the offering. It was a Friday night, came to the offering. Sunday was Mother's Day in Canada. And this boy just came walking up to the pulpit, just stood. Sunday is Mother's Day. You have an old mother in the glory. And she's looking down on you tonight. And Sunday is Mother's Day. And she'd love you to remember her. And he says, what better way of remembering your mother than to give a gift for missionary work? Now you'll notice in the pew in front of you, there's a little envelope. And you fill the envelope in memory of my mother. And he says, I've mine filled in. A crafty boy. In memory of my mother, $25. And he says, everybody that fills in the envelope gets their name in next month's magazine. And all the wee women are thinking of their mother in heaven and the tears is coming to their eyes. And he says, the steward will wait on you for your offering. And he turns to the organist and he said, give us a tune, Tell Mother I'll Be There. And she was playing Tell Mother I'll Be There and they were throwing the money out. But don't need gimmicks for it. If God's people just do it the way God wants it. I'll tell you something very personal tonight. Some of my family might not be aware of this. My mother lived in the same street for 92 years, on the Shangle Road. 92 and she took a heart attack. And they sent for me. And I went to the hospital, and she was in the accident emergency. And when I got there, she's on the oxygen. And when she's lying there in the oxygen, the first words to me were, "Son, the pension." I thought, "You've had a heart attack, but you know about the pension. Son, the pension." I says, "Mom, forget about the pension. When they move you into the ward, we'll talk about it." And when they moved her up into the ward, I thought, she'll forget all about this talk about the pension. And it was a Wednesday when I was there, and I went up into the ward, and I sat down beside her again, and she says, "Now, son, the pension." I says, "Mom, what about this pension?" She says, "Tomorrow's pension day. And I want you to go to the post office in the Shankill Road, and I want you to lift my pension. And I want you to take £40 out of it." I says, "This is great." She says, "That's for the masonries." I said, "Mom, you have no other income, only the pension. How often do you do this?" She says, "Every week." I said, "Mom, tell me, how have you been living?" She said, "Son, I'm 92 and the Lord hasn't let me down yet. Not yet." Could you imagine giving that amount of your pension with no other source of income and trusting the Lord right through the week? And I'll tell you, she lived to almost 101. And she gave me that envelope right up to the last. I told the wife of the genes of my mother's and me, she's going to have some job looking after me. Oh, let's get this. It's rewarding. Because the more we give, the more reward will be in glory. When we see souls that have been gathered in because we sent and we supported those who were sent. Those who were sent. You see the support? It was regular and it was rewarding. The sacrifice shown. You know, Paul loses sight of the fact that it was given to him. He didn't see it as money being given to him. He saw it as money being given to the Lord. And as such, it went up before the Lord as a sweet smelling savor. Sweet smelling savor. Paul could see the sacrifice. And he could see how heaven reacted to the sacrifice of the people of God who were supporting the ministry of the missionary in the front line of the battle. Like a sweet smelling savor. And then he just turns around at the last and he says this. You give. And you know what? My God will supply all your needs. He'll supply all your need. I'll tell you, that's something of practical giving. My God will supply your need. You know, do you ever think you can't take it with you when you go? We had a boy over from America for 10 nights in Ballykeel. He was a cracker. President, International Congress and Revival. And he used to say this, you can't take it with you. You've never seen a trailer on the back of a hearse yet. So you're better sending it on before you, so that when you get there, you'll get your reward in glory. The boy left home 16 to seek his fortune. He was told by his mother to seek first the kingdom of God and to honor God with all he had. He arrived in New York and he remembered his mother's words. He joined a church. And upon earning his first dollar, the question of the Lord's part came up. if the Lord will take one tenth, I will give it. Having regular employment, he soon became a partner. A few years later, the partner died and William became the sole owner. He instructed his bookkeeper to open an account with the Lord and to carry one tenth of all the income into the Lord's account. He prospered. His business grew. His family were blessed. And then he told his bookkeeper, give two tenths to the Lord. Give three tenths to the Lord. Give four tenths to the Lord. Give five tenths to the Lord. And he prospered more than ever. And he gave millions to the cause of Christ. And he left a name that will never die. William Colgate. When you're cleaning your teeth, just think of that man. You cannot outgive the Lord. You cannot do it. And as we tie up the threads of this missionary convention, we have looked at the man God's looking for. He's looking for you tonight. He's looking for you. God needs workers. If there were more workers, those of us who were in the work would be less burdened. He's looking for workers tonight. And he's looking for workers who will take the message to those who have never heard. He's looking among us tonight for partners in prayer. Remember that text last night? God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He's looking for givers tonight who will take the responsibility upon them if you have sent them. You've got a responsibility to support them. And maybe tonight, God has touched your heart, looked into your life tonight. And you know that you haven't been the person you ought to have been when it comes to missionary enterprise. You haven't prayed for those who were in the front line of the battle who have requested your prayer. They're facing problems, difficulties, and darkness that we have never known. And they're depending on you to hold them up in the arms of faith. But you failed. Maybe tonight somebody has got to come home from the field because there hasn't been the support to keep them on the field. Because God's people have failed in the responsibility. You could leave this missionary convention tonight and you could say it was good to be there. And you know, those truths challenge my heart. But I'm not really in a position to do anything about it. But you are in a position to do something about it. Because you can tell the Lord tonight, from this night on, I'm going to be the prayer warrior. I'm going to do my part in providing the needs to keep the missionary on the field. With God's help, I'm going to do it. Do not do that tonight. Let the Lord take full control. Get into the blessing. I'll tell you, you cannot outgive God. You cannot do it. But you'll have to give him all you have if you want to experience all he has to get full of God. these days. Let's bow together. Just before the pastor comes, every head's bowed and every eye's closed, and I want you to be honest with yourself tonight before God. Have you really been what God means you to be? Maybe tonight as you look in your heart, you say, I haven't been. But oh, I would love you to pray for me. I would love you to pray for me. Because I want to get into the place of blessing where God can bless me and God can use me. Is there anybody here tonight? And that's the way you feel at the end of the missionary convention. And you say, I would love that you would pray for me. There's nobody looking. Just put your hand up and put it down again. God bless you. Put it down again. God bless you. God bless you. He wants to pray for you tonight. You want to give it back to God. What God has given you, to give it back to Him. I'm going to take longer at my knees. I'm going to dig deeper into my pocket so that I might be useful in the hands of our God. Lord, we thank you for the speaking of the Spirit in these days. We thank you, our Father, for the power of your word. And our Father, in these days of apathy and departure, we thank you that there are those even among us tonight who want to get back to the place of blessing, back to the place where God can use them and God can bless them. Lord, we pray that as you look over the congregation and you know those who have raised a hand for prayer tonight, we pray, Lord, that even in the stillness of these moments, that you'll hear them cry from their hearts in silent prayer, O God, I put my life back on the altar and I take my hands off it. It belongs to you. And I'm giving it back to you to use for your glory. Lord, may there be that true response from hearts in the service tonight, because we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.
Many thanks, Jackie, for that very challenging word. Can I say to you that very often when you hear the challenge, the missionary challenge of to leave your all and follow him, we often think that that's just a change of location, a change geographically, that that's all it's going to mean, that I have to leave my home and go somewhere. But the missionary challenge is deeper and far more widespread than that. It's to leave that attitude, to leave that desire, those things that you possess, that you value more than anything else. When I think of the Lord Jesus, he had to leave heaven's glory, take upon himself the sin of man. He wasn't afraid to go and pull alongside the prostitute, the immoral, the drunkard. So it means much more than just changing location. It means giving your all to God. Someone said, and I believe it's true, God has a man or a woman when he's got their purse or their wallet. Has God got you? Has he got every part of your life? I can also say and testify from experience. And Esther and I went into the work of the Faith Mission. We had neither support of church or prayer group. But God still was faithful. Still was faithful. And he'll be faithful to you if you give your all to him now. And you'll be able to look back. Esther and I can look back over a quarter of a century now. And we can say, God has been faithful every day. We're going to close our meeting singing 680. I can hear my Saviour calling. I can hear my Saviour calling. I can hear my Saviour calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where does he want to lead you tonight? What does he want to lead you out of? And where does he want to lead you into? And if you follow him, you will be blessed. We'll stand and sing together. Thanks, Sammy. And bow in prayer together. I'm sure the important thing in your mind was that you'd hear God's voice, and the most important thing for you is that God would be glorified in these meetings. And can I tell you that the one thing that God wanted in these meetings was that you would obey him and that you would respond to him. And I trust that you will do that. Do the one thing that God wants you to do with what you've heard these last four meetings. Now, Father, we have indeed heard your voice, and you have been present with us night after night. Thank you for giving help to your servant and for his faithfulness in bringing forth your word. We thank you for the Spirit that is backed at home by his power. And we believe, Lord, now the responsibility is placed in every believer's heart. What will I do with what God has said to me. Give grace, Lord, tonight. We ask grace to follow into every area and avenue that the Spirit of God has been illuminating. Grant, O God, tonight that victory will be gained in every heart. Lord, we give thanks for the tea and refreshments that are provided. And we ask, Lord, later on as we travel home, that we know the protection and guidance of the Spirit of God and your hand upon us. For we ask it in the Saviour's name, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen.